the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world. Wake up late, how everybody. Wake up late, how everybody. Wake up late, how everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah, let's do it. Welcome, everybody, to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show live. I'm Dougie Almeida with a special edition, special guest in the studio, Mr. Jimmy Schubert.
Special guest. Special guest. Where's my helmet?
Not special in that manner.
No, I know.
Like the dark tinted window bus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's good to be here. I was down here doing some shows together, which is cool.
That's right.
I'm popping in, doing some visiting, seeing some friends, and I get to do some shows at night, which is awesome.
If that's the best thing about this business, right? And I love when comics live or have family and friends in Florida, because that makes it a little easier.
But it's true. But like even today, you know, you were telling me about that gig over at the what's the name of it? Atlantis in Bahamas, which is like for 2 weeks. I go, what a great little vacation gig. I'm going to go do the Atlantis vacation gig. Send me like, you know, it's cool.
And absolutely. And I've been there. This will be the second time coming up, and I always put it around my wife's birthday. Like comedy has been able for me, like I told you, I did the big gig in Belize with Brad Reeder.
That was our
anniversary.
Right.
So I got to go to Belize for a week. Stay for free for our anniversary.
Hey, and all you got to do is go up on stage and do 15, 20 minutes every night. I mean, what's better than that, right? I mean, you know, dude, I was over in Dubai. I mean, you know, you talk about like getting an opportunity to do some great trips. Like I was over in China a couple times.
Yeah.
I did some tours over there, Singapore, Macau. We also, Israel, Ireland.
Yeah.
You know.
What's the toughest city you've ever been in? Where's the place you went and went, oh my God. What was I thinking?
Oh, believe it or not, it's funny. There was a place called Haggerty's in Boca a long time ago, and it was like this long oval bar, and people would go in there for happy hour, and they would stay there until 8 o'clock. And, you know, it was the old joke. There's no town drunk in Boca.
Yeah.
They all take turns. And then you would go up and do your comedy show, and it would be brutal. People would like the headliners would come in. They had I remember Coconuts booked it. And it's funny because he was starting on a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday to Sunday. And you're an MC headliner. Right. So you go up and do 30 minutes, bring up a feature act. A lot of guys lousy features. Then you go up and do 15 between the feature and the headliner. And then the headliner would come on. And it was a long show. They sold a ton of booze. It was back in like the early 90s. And it was a great little, you know, but it was a tough little gig. And I actually was a house MC there. And this is after I toured with Kinison. You know, back in the day. So I've spent a lot of time down here. So I like it down here, especially in August. That was a kind of a cool little gig. And my buddy Jeff Apeloff used to manage it. Jeff now is a producer. He produces that Jamie Kennedy show on Fox called Shazam. And he also produced a show called Don't Forget the Lyrics. But me and Jeff used to run that club Haggerty's, and it was is phenomenal. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time down here, and it's good to be back, and I'm hanging with my boys, Dave and Elliot Merrills. I always, but it's like just staying in their place. You know, you get up in the morning, there's a Qigong, you're doing yoga.
Oh, yeah.
There's kettlebells, you're drinking turmeric. You know,
it's always weird when you stay at someone's house. You don't know how early they get up.
It's like a health retreat. The other day we had broccoli and Brussels sprouts, And I got to tell you, that night I wasn't far with a lot of confidence. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And we had some turmeric, and it was fantastic. And then we, you know, some yogurt, and we did some Qigong, and it's been a good, it's like a little.
The funny part is that's not what they do at any normal time. That's like, let's just put Jimmy through this when he's in town.
No, it's good. We're just hanging out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just chilling. But it's fun. It's good to see him. We've been friends a long time, so it's nice to get down here. And
well, I'm really glad you're here, one, because, you know, a lot of people said, you know, how'd you get Jimmy? And I just saw you on Facebook one day. I think when it happened, I saw you on Facebook, and I said, you know, I got to ask. You know, you don't, if you don't ask, you don't get, right? So, and you
well,
responded.
Well, you know what? Yeah, because I was figuring on coming down here. I was just down here not too long ago. A couple months ago, like February, doing some stuff. And then so I just wanted to, come back down and stuff. And it's always good if you can go. And I pick up a couple of gigs here like this worked out to perfect, you know what I mean?
But if anybody asked, I said, oh, we go back a long way. That's how I know. Yeah. All these young comics like, how'd you get you? How do you know him?
Hey, well, how'd Schubert do this? Would he lose a bet?
Yeah.
What happened? How'd you get him?
They're wondering what dirt I have on you. They think I have the Russians involved.
I was colluding.
Russian collusion was what caused you to become...
I was coming down there anyway to see my boys, and I figured, let me just see if I can pick up a couple gigs, and it just worked out, and so I fly out Sunday back to L.A., and I was already back here.
Yeah, that's
my ride's here.
Yeah, that's the blind date we're setting you up with. She wanted a date with Jimmy.
Wow, is that your dog?
Yeah, no, it's my daughter. No, she's got... Yeah, the kid's a little weird. She's special. No. So you're welcome, and you're welcome here. And by the way, we are sold out tonight at Tavolino's. Anybody trying to get in the show, it's packed.
Really?
That's it. And tomorrow night we're doing Bremen Motor Cars I Heart Performance Theater, which, you know,
it's in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, and they usually say, hey, you know, usually we get like 80, 90 people signed up to go, and then there's a 30% fallout.
Yeah.
The guy got nervous today. He's calling people like, hey, you sure you want to come? Because we oversold it. And so we may have, you know...
Yeah, well, tell him to, you know, make sure he's full before they send people away.
Yeah.
I hate when a place is sold out and the guy starts sending people away, and then there's like 20 empty seats. You go, yeah, we were sold out. I was all ready to hit my bonus. Send 20 people away. What's going on? I know. The funny thing is like, you know, you should just, look, when we're full, and we can't see no more people, and that's just...
Well, that happened. One time I was doing a show with Jim Florentine, and the booker of the show got nervous because... Nobody's buying tickets. I'm like, dude, none of Jim Florentine's fans are going to buy a ticket a week in advance.
Yeah.
They're going to mostly show up the day of and stuff like that. And then they ended up papering the room.
Yeah, well, you say I did this, but look, you've had Tom Rhodes here, Jim Florentine, Rich Voss. I mean, you've produced a lot of these shows. You got, you know, I mean, it looks like you've L.A. Hardy's been here, Mike Vecchione, Reverend Bob Levy. I mean, Joey Medina, you've produced some shows here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you know.
Why would I want to do this gig? Yeah, you've had hiring cast in here. Look at this.
We've had people that just come for the food, by the way, which you're going to have a good time with tonight. Great Italian food. So
nice.
Yeah, so what's your favorite food?
Italian food.
Yeah, all right. Well, it worked out.
Yeah, I grew up in Philadelphia, so it's always about, you know, that's the preference. I really used to work at a place called Vinny's Lounge, and I used to start cutting the beef there and making sandwiches there. And so it's like, you know, I'm very fond of the Italian food.
Last meal, your favorite, if you had to choose the last meal, not that it's going to happen, but if you had to, what would be?
It's a good question.
What's eating at the house, guys? Eating healthy? Is that whatever you guys are cooking? Yeah.
We've had some good sandwiches.
Yeah.
La Spada's. Oh, yeah.
Oh, La Spada's is awesome.
That's like a work of art. Yeah, La Spada sandwich is a good sandwich. We also went to Charm City.
Yeah.
We had burgers at Charm City. No, I think my last meal would be the key lime milkshake and that Charm City burger. Because that thing put me into a coma yesterday. We came home and ate that, and I was like laying on the couch. So, dude, they got this couch, like, it's like it just, you put your feet up, and then you push it back, and next thing you know.
Oh, reclining chair?
Oh, yeah. Reclining chair couch. It's like getting waterboarded, you know, except you're sleeping. Yeah. You know, it just puts you right out.
My pops, when he's come back from work, he had the reclining chair, and that's where he'd come home, pop down on that thing, and that was it. You know, and listen, you won't see one out there. We're going to get it. We're getting new furniture in the house here.
Right.
And my wife got one big couch with these three of them in there. I'm like, that's it. I'm not going anywhere. That's it. I'm staying. I'm not going on the road. I'm stuck in that damn chair.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice to get comfortable and watch like movies, but you know, put you right out and a little ice cream on top of that, and you're watching a Netflix. You're binge watching on Netflix. You're halfway through episode two and just.
I saw my doctor. I mentioned today because we were on the Paul Castronovo show this morning. Where you were on there. It was hilarious. A lot of people loved it. You know, they talked about the all-you-can-eat lobster, and of course the selective how we design our number two, I guess, something like that. I don't remember.
It was competitive eating. We were talking about that woman who actually.
And you said the cursive J. It looked like a
with a little dot on the top of it. And he had nicknames for him because you got to think for as a competitive eater, if you don't place first, second, or third, then your only trophy is the turd you're going to lay after you gave it a college try.
Self-created.
So you call, and you kind of name them. This one's Mr. Softy. This one here's the cursive J. Yeah. This one, I was in a corn on the cob eating contest, and it would come out to say, imagine if you were in a corn on the cob eating contest. It would come out like an ear of corn with the occasional like brown sponges in between holding it together. You know, you would literally shit in your corn.
Lately, I'm calling
like a corn on the cob eating contest, and that's all you ate. Like you had 37 ears of corn, you would actually shit in your corn, right?
Yeah,
and that would be a trophy. You take a picture of it, and look.
It'd be a medical miracle. It would actually be one corn cob that was comprised of thousands that you ate.
Yeah.
At the contest. At this stage of my life, I have a lot of Captain Crab, what they call the clam strips.
Right.
That's a little my movement there. Captain Clam Strips is the one I like to name.
What did we had the dolphin fingers today at the joint. Yeah. Well, we had dolphin fingers today up at the Whale's Rib. Yeah,
Whale's Rib's a good place over there in the bend in Deerfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, good place. They're taking you to good places. La Spada's some of the best subs around. Big ass sub, man.
I got to tell you, that's a great sandwich. Those guys are sandwich artists. That's true. I'm from Philadelphia. I know those guys who opened La Spada are from Philly, but they do a hell of a job. It's a great sandwich. That's right up there. I would put that up there with the Italian beef and the Philadelphia cheesesteak. I mean, everybody's got their things, but
I'm still amazed when I get a Philadelphia cheesesteak and there's not like. Cheese whiz on it.
Yeah,
you gotta have regular cheese, and you gotta
like the American cheese melts better. I think.
Yeah.
The provolone gives it a sour. I like American cheese, light onions, and there's cheesesteaks. I mean, they're just. I mean, that's what we're known for.
Green peppers.
Steaks. We're known for cheesesteaks and booing Santa Claus. You guys booed Santa Claus, didn't you? Yeah, we did. And in all fairness, Santa Claus is only Santa Claus one day a year. The day he got booed, he was just a fat guy in a red suit rooting for the wrong team.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's good to get people back to reality. You mentioned something a little earlier about things to do, like doing shows in bars and stuff and like doing things and challenges. I tell comics that are just starting, I'm like, that's good to do that. Get out there and do it. And, like, it sucks. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. But if you learn to grab the attention from the TV screen, then you can go to the improv and you can go to any of these things. You're sitting there, and they're ready to go, right? But if you do comedy in a bar, a sports bar, you know, welcome to Scumbuckets, where the first 10 people thrown out get back in free. You know, when you're doing a show at Scumbuckets, and then you learn how to get the crowd. That's work.
Well, that's where I started in Philadelphia. Yeah. The rooms were rough. I mean, it's you know, yeah, people aren't going to give you a chance. Like you know, as far as people can tell, like, oh, you're going to do comedy. You know, you're like, you know, like Soggy the Dunk Tank Clown. They're going to yell at you and scream at you. Like, if the job's not tough enough.
Yeah.
Why don't you have like four beers and just start heckling me? That should make it go good.
Yeah.
That'll make it entertaining for everybody. But I mean, it's the only people, like, you know, at least painters, you know, Picasso gets to finish his work of art, as strange as it was. You know, people don't just walk over and start pissing in his paints and dropping shit in his paints. Yeah, you gotta call that painting, asshole. You know, it's like stand-up comedy is an art form. You mind if, you know, like a lot of people like to get involved in the show that weren't at rehearsal. I think it's good, though. I think you're right. I think it's good to, like, be able to do it at any level on any show in different places.
Right.
And I happen to be working on a new hour, so I love, like, doing, like, shows like this and really working on material. It's like Rocky II, where he shows up at Windy City Gym. like, you know, to get ready for the big fight. You know, that's what the thing. I see these black belts here. I didn't realize you got you were qualified in martial arts.
Yeah.
I studied a little bit myself. I took the Krav Maga, the Israeli.
Self-defense.
Yeah, Jewish martial arts. The first move they teach you, where a guy comes at you, if he tries to hit you, you slap him with a lawsuit. It's Jewish martial arts.
Yeah.
The other move is where you drop some loose change. When he goes for it, bang, kick him, bang, or you throw the credit card down. I was grappling with a guy in Krav Maga class, and his gi was a little baggy. I took it in a couple inches on the shoulder area. I didn't like it, though. Every time you broke a board, you had to pay for it. But listen, here's the thing.
They charge you by the board?
Yeah, by the board.
Don't get me started on the bricks. I got to break a fucking brick. Oh, my God.
That's so funny. So what do you study? Kenpo and...
Those are Taekwondo, but I studied Hapkido, and I was a pro Thai boxer. I went 10-0.
Nice.
Yeah. I have video on Facebook. It's legend now, where I broke a guy's leg in 12 seconds in the first round.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what the name Always Dangerous came from. I was super heavyweight because I couldn't get below 200 pounds.
Right.
Because I had the cheese steaks and the cheese. So I said, I'm going to stay at super heavyweight. I'm only 5'9". So everybody I fought was either 50 pounds heavier or 4 inches taller or both.
Right.
And so that's my old strength coach said, you're a dangerous man.
Right, and your sponsors used to advertise on the bottom of his shoes, you know, ding, Heated Joe's. The boots would go, bing, Heated Joe's. That's cool. I actually did that for a little while myself, actually, but it was fun.
I miss though. I, you know, it's like anything. But some of the best things, like now, Aikido, which is a Steven Seagal style, you know, it's grappling, holding. Hapkido, which is the Korean style. I love it because you don't have to be in great physical shape. You can grab somebody's shirt and choke them to death with it.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't need to do a split. You know, no. You don't need to be Van Damme putting your legs between. Look at me, be scared.
Right.
You know, I did that one time at a bar in Daytona. I did a Van Damme split, too.
Right.
And I fell down off the chair.
Obviously, the man's very knowledgeable on martial arts, so he knows the difference between karate and judo. Karate, obviously, is the art of striking, and judo is what they make bagels with. Now, listen, here's the thing.
Hey,
lady!
Hey, this is a comedy podcast.
Hey, lady! Come on. What is this pre-show? We're gearing up for the show tonight.
Now, your friends are around, you know, which is interesting. You know, the friends of comics and things like that. You guys are not comics, but you guys are friends because sometimes in comedy, you only have your comedy friends and you lose.
These guys helped me write several bits. Some of my favorite bits. Yeah. Chicken Omelette we came up with together. Chicken Omelette, we came up with that together and a couple other things. We're working on some other things today.
Yeah.
The competitive eating thing, which I think is great.
You guys like being a part of that, right?
My boy, these guys are creative, you know? You know, Elliot's writes and plays music, and these guys are real estate guys. They do whatever. They're making it happen. They're a couple entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Well, you have to be nowadays. Who the hell would work for anybody? At least. You know, is there a writing method with you? I mean, is there a way that you're just always thinking? You're always just jotting things down? Use a recorder? Use a pen? Use a ducktail plume with ink?
I use my phone, really.
Yeah.
I just start to shape an idea. And you know, I always write it out first. And I find what the beats are. And once I get it memorized and I find the beats, then I go up on stage and I play with it.
Yeah.
And just run it through my filter. Because I got pretty good instincts. I've been doing this for a long time. I know what... if I get an idea and I go, yeah, that can work, work. You know, I mean, but I like to get, like, you know, I mean, I like to, like, overwrite, like, take a premise and just wring every laugh out of it.
Right.
You know, like, well, you'll see tonight, like, a lot of my bits are, like, they're, like, you know, comedic short story form. So, like, the therapy cat bit is a 10-minute bit. I mean, you literally do, like, 4 10-minute bits.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the shopping, you know, shopping stuff. And so it's great. I just like getting out and honing a piece and then getting it, like, performance level where it just crushes 99.9% of the time. You know?
It's interesting you said that because at the level I'm at now, I had jokes and I would go. And then all of a sudden I said, man, there's so much more I could do to that joke. You know what I mean? Like really get deeper into it. I do a bit called the over 40 soccer bit.
Right.
I play an over 40 soccer league. It's an over 40 waist league.
Right.
You know, a bunch of fat guys running around. You know, and I just keep adding stuff. There's an endurance test. It's a 2.5-day mile.
Right.
You know, you have to be able to, you know, and I just think every once in a while I just think of stuff. But I watch more and more comics. I'm like, they'll take just stretch something And it's
well, sometimes
it's great.
It takes you 2 years. Like you're writing and you go, that's a funny line. And then 2 years later, you go, oh, that's such a better line.
Right, right.
Like, I mean, it's like, you know, your act is a living, breathing thing that you kind of keep, that kind of evolves and changes as, but you know, you never really stop working on the bits. You keep making them funnier and funnier and funnier. And that's what I get. It's like every line, we have this word efficiency. It's like shortest amount of lines between lines, like boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, boom. And the audience really just barely has time to catch their breath. And you just do that for 45 minutes and people are like, geez, I can't yeah. laugh that hard. I can't laugh that much. And some people come out and just grab your arms like, Jesus, man, did I need to laugh like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm very appreciative to be able to do it well. And I work on the get, you know, I work
well, that's
on the,
that's great about you. That's one thing I love about your sets, because I follow, like, I like making, probably like coming up with a joke, one, you know, another one, and boom, just keep people laughing in that perpetual state of laughter. You know, and then there's storytellers that'll go tell a story for like an hour, or it seems like it, and then they'll hit you. Like, I have a young comic, very fun, great storyteller, but I said, look, man, if you're going to make people wait that long for the laugh, it better be one hell of a big laugh.
Yeah.
It's got to conclude, you know what I mean? It's got to... Yeah, you can't just go 3 or 4 minutes on a setup.
Well,
and
there's
then...
different styles, man. Everybody has different styles to accomplish the same goal. And some guys work like that. Some guys are great storytellers. They would border on almost like it's like half stand-up, half one-man show.
Right.
That's cool. That's, you know, maybe the comic place, maybe you're better off doing a one-man show. The only gamble with doing a one-man show is sometimes...
no one fills in for you?
Well, you might. The critics might be disappointed with the cast. And then where do you go from there?
Yeah.
No, but it's
you can't blame it. You can't blame it on your
no, like, but it's true. It's, you know, so there's a million ways to do it. It just seems like people go, well, make me laugh now. It's like comedians are the only ones who get that.
Yeah.
Like most people, like in theater and stuff, people get to watch a play build. They get to watch a story build. You know, and like, give me a couple dick jokes. You know, you don't have the mental capacity to wrap it around and kind of come with somebody for a little ride.
Right, 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 right.
So you got to kind of.
When did you get started? When did what?
Dude, I started doing magic when I was about 10 years old. By the time I was like 13, 14, 15, I was doing shows. I was doing Southampton Star Showcase. I was doing Children's Hospitals. I was doing shows. I had probably like 5 or 6 gigs a month. I had Doves. I was doing, I was doing magic, and I was doing it. And then like 18, I like kind of just, I just kind of wanted to find a room and just be funny.
Yeah.
And so I hung up the wand. I retired the rabbit. And I just started, telling jokes.
And then you quit doing magic.
Well, no, I didn't. Actually, it's funny because I didn't ever quit. It was just something that always stuck with me because I had done it a long.
You just shared something with me today. It was a pretty good achievement, pretty nice achievement. You got accepted into.
The Magic Castle, which is a big deal. And so it's nice to be able to do that. My goal, and I'm going to document it on my Instagram, my Facebook, and my Twitter when it happens, is that I'll do a spot at the Improv, I'll go to the Comedy Store, and then I'll go down and I'll do a late night spot at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And this way you can go, what you performed for me, which would be like, that would be the hat trick of all hat tricks.
Yeah.
Unless you were able to do the Improv, do all 3 rooms at the Comedy Store, and then go to the Magic Castle and do a couple shows down there. And that would be, to me, that would be like, that I could do that every night. I would love it. You know, just switch gears, kind of get loose, and just, and, you know, I've been kind of blowing their minds all week long doing magic and stuff. It's just, I enjoy it immensely. I've been doing it for a long time. I like reading about it. Everybody has their thing. And it gives me a life outside of stand-up, although it's similar. But I think the disciplines, the practice that magicians do, I'm sorry.
All right, be a magician and make that ringer disappear.
Yeah, there you go, abracadabra. So,
well, it's good. It's interesting. Like I've always done that. I started acting before I did comedy. You know, I did stage theater, did some Shakespeare, and I caught the bug. And I was like, oh, this is maybe I don't want to do. And then of course did the stand up, and then did the fighting. You know, it was always something. I played collegiate soccer. You know, you got to be doing something all the time, man. I'm just one of those guys. Is it a Renaissance man? Like you, I was never happy. I would try to do something, and I would get to a certain point.
Well, you know, you're always going to give yourself permission to get better at things and challenge yourself and get outside your comfort zone. And all that stuff is about that. It's about, you know, kind of being the best version of yourself you can be and learning a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I mean, nowadays, you got to do everything. You got to run your own podcast. You got to be able to tell jokes. You got to book shows and produce shows. And it seems like you're doing it all, so good on you.
Yeah, man, I'm happy about it. I'm blessed, and I got a wife that supports me and everything like that. And for the fact that I still manage money for a living, she's happy. You know, Although, you know, she found out that if I die in an airplane, she gets an extra $250,000 from American Express. My next gig's in Miami. She wants me to fly. I'm like, honey, I could drive. It's a 30-minute. Oh, no, you get on a plane. All right, it's Asian, by the way, just so you guys know. I had to throw a little joke in there. That's a little one. Now, you mentioned Sam Kinison. You toured. That was in the beginning. Where were you in your career when you got to work with him? And I got to see him a couple times.
Yeah, and I was relatively new. I mean, I was like a kid. I was like, you know, I'd gone out to Los Angeles when I was 19 years old. I remember I kind of like worked the door for like a year out there. I turned 21 out there. I kind of started touring with Sam probably like, you know, like maybe like 5 or 6 years into my my career, and getting to do like the tour bus and traveling and doing these arenas of 6,500 people and 5,000 people. And
I mean, how is that feel? I mean, as a comic, be in front of what changes? Because I've been in big cavernous rooms. I've never been in front of 5,000 people. But when you're in a cavernous room, your timing changes. Everything seems to, I mean, how challenging is it to be in front of that many people in that big of a room?
Yeah, it's definitely, you got to kind of slow it all down. You think, how do you make 5,000 seats intimate like you get in a comedy club? When those guys came and saw me, I was doing Chrissy France's comedy room in on like Santa Monica and La Brea there, and they came in and saw me, and I had a good set. It was a late night set, and they saw enough. And then actually the first time I opened for Sam, I had a little bit of a rough time, but I hung in there and I got the crowd back, and that's all he needed to see. He goes, a lot of guys would have tanked that set. You kept fighting and fighting. You finally got them back on your side and you pulled it out.
How important is that when you're, cause I've been in that situation. Like when I auditioned at Dangerfields.
Yeah,
and I went up after J.J. Ramirez, who's a beast.
Yeah,
and the way they put you up after the headliner, and you got to do 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and I got the first 5 minutes. This guy is a beast. He's on the audience. He's doing crowd work, and I'm going up there saying, "Hey, there's two types of fat. You know, I'm just doing my stuff, and I got it going." And then it was like trying to start an old lawnmower. Like I just lost him for a minute there, and I'm like, "Oh no, I didn't want it to overcome me, but I stuck to it." And I thought it was horrible, but they loved it because they said most people don't even do the 20 minutes. Most people bail after 5.
Yeah, well, so that's another test they put. Yeah, but you got, you know, you want to be in stand-up comic. I mean, you're going to go, you're going to have to do that on the road. You're going to have to follow the Greg. I mean, at the Comedy Store on any given night, you follow Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, you know, Tom Segura, Burr Kreischer. I mean, you know.
You see those, when I look on Instagram and the Comedy Store says, this is our lineup, I look at that lineup and go, some of these guys, like, you write the list, the people that are on there, like, holy shit, I got to go up and do 15 minutes after this person, this person.
Well, you know, if you want to be a stand-up comic, that's the deal.
That's it.
You got to be good enough to trade punchlines with the best guys in the country. And that's why most guys go eventually to New York or L.A. because that's where everybody is. It's either New York, L.A., Chicago. It's got a pretty good thing. Boston's got a great comedy pedigree. I mean, even down here in Florida, there's a ton of comedy rooms. Guys that never seem to need work or look for work because it's always here. So it just depends, I guess. Depends on, you know, I mean, everybody wants to run to L.A., but I go, why would you do that? You're not going to get any stage time. The stage time's tough. I would get established somewhere else. I would become I'd become the biggest, funniest guy in that city or that state. And then I would take all that and I would go to a festival and I would take all that and then go to New York or L.A. Where you got a little time. And because everybody wants it yesterday. Everybody wants it yesterday. Yeah. But there's just no shortcuts.
Yeah.
It takes you 10 years to become a real amazing freaking act. I don't care who you are. Just you have to go through every show and every kind of situation they could find you in any comedy club in America. And then you can, like, you know, kind of put your hands on the kettle and leave the temple. I mean, because you are going to be following
Kung Fu reference.
Yeah,
by the
because
way.
You're going to be following. Yeah. You're going to be following guys like JD. You're going to be following like guys like oh well, don't say that word, don't do that bit, and don't do it because I'm doing that in my act.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, bro. Every man for himself. If you can't headline a room, then you can't headline a room.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. You're going to be come across some really funny motherfuckers, and you better be able to follow them. Otherwise,
a real test of a true comedian. I've had that happen in the past where a comic will come up to me and say, hey, can you not do this joke or not do that joke or maybe do less time? I was told, you know, one comedy club said, I felt bad. I'm like, I'm doing bad. He goes, no, he wants you to do less time because you're funny, and he wants you to get off stage a little sooner.
Well, that's the thing. Some guy, that's why a lot of guys travel with their own comedians. They travel with their own guys because they know they're not going to make it too tough on them.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my own feature act, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy does shadow puppets. You know, he does 20 minutes of shadow puppets with a couple. Think you can follow that? Yeah, I think I can follow that.
Yeah, that's funny you say that. We actually had a conversation not too long ago on the podcast of. you know, is it true? Like some comics, because it's an honor. As a comic, we have some local comics here in Florida that made it because they open up for other comics. So they're touring all over the country and they're getting these great venues, right? And then, you wonder, like, when are you going to break free from that, you know? I mean, I've been booking myself. My agent is Al Maida. That's my agent is Al Maida. Nice. That's me. You know what I mean? I fake the voice and everything. I'm like, this guy, Doug, he's pretty good. You ought to check him out. You know,
you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We're going to hit our segment of Straight from the Headlines here in a second. One thing, what's one thing, if you can narrow it down to one thing, that's important for comics to know?
You know, for me, being funny was easy. Learning how to become a professional. It took me a long time to be considerate of you know, the people trying to run a business, understand what their struggles are, understand what the other people you're working with, what their struggles are, too. Try to be kind to people. Try to be a good ambassador to the art form and try to help as many people, because you're going to meet the same people on the way up as on the same people on the way down. And so I think, any chance you get to be the business is already tough enough. You're not going to go out of your way to be a jerk off to somebody who's trying to, follow their dream or catch their dream. And so I just try to, within reason, obviously. But, that's all. And at this point, I've been lucky enough to do this for, 30 years. So, it seems to work for me. That's all I can tell you.
This is Dougie May, the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Special guest today, Jimmy Schubert, on a Wednesday show. We're usually here Mondays and Tuesdays. And now you get to partake in what's called Straight from the Headlines.
All right, what are we doing?
Well, it's...
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. You know, we got into topic of politics, which we'll keep it as our conversation on the way to the show this morning. I don't like talking about, I'm not a political comic and stuff like that. I did think it was funny today that Facebook, members of Facebook, people that work at Facebook, they're getting mad and they're complaining to the company because there's conservative members that work there. And they're complaining because they feel that they're being pushed out by liberal side. So it's interesting how in a company like Facebook.
Well, dude, I gotta tell you. It's certainly the political climate in this country is disgusting. It's like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, these are the people that are the liberals acting like that, and the tolerant people are the ones acting like that. And I got news for you. It's not tolerant. It's not progressive. You're a fascist if that's what you do. And I've had people ask me what my political beliefs are before I get a job in Hollywood. I've had people do that. Mm-hmm. So I know it goes on. I think it's disgusting. I think that you can't have a civil discourse with somebody. I think you hate somebody so much, it really is. I've and I'm really kind of a middle of the road guy. I don't do politics shit.
Judge it as you see it. It has nothing to do like towing a line. Just whatever makes sense. That's the way I'm going either way.
Yeah. So I think people that vote down party lines, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, I think you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I really do. I think you're an idiot. I think these people should have to earn your vote. And I guess a lot of people vote for, very emotional reasons. So I understand why they get with like that. You know, some of the guys, I'm voting for this one because, my grandfather had Alzheimer's. My father died of Alzheimer's. Chances are I'm going to have it. So I want stem cell research to be investigated. And that could probably. So I totally get those things. I totally get that people do. But I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's so childish. Yeah. It's beyond measure. I mean, we're not even progressing as a society. We're regressing.
Yeah.
People are over pampered. And I don't even think any of this technology, the holding the phone in your hand for 10 hours a day and tweeting and looking down. And I think it's all going to come to a head.
When I went to my doctors, they asked me, are you getting blurry vision? They're worried about I had diabetes. I go, no, I think it's from my iPhone. I don't think it's diabetes. I think it's from my damn iPhone screen. Good on that. Here's a story. Dog owner who used pet sitting service says he found shirtless men lubed and living in the room or sitting in the living room.
What do you do?
So this guy hires a dog walker.
Right.
You know, you're not home enough, so you get somebody to come to your house and walk your dog, which is, it's a pretty trustworthy situation.
And then what happens?
Well, the dog owner in Colorado claims that when he used a dog sitting service to care for his dog while he was away, he came home to find a shirtless man, a bottle of lubricant, and a camera in his living room. Yeah. Well, I mean, either the guy's doing webcam stuff at the guy's house, I mean, I remember one time for a corporate test to test our, you know, how brave we are, this corporate, like, getaway thing, they made me go into a supermarket, get three cucumbers, a box of condoms, and a box and a bag and a thing of Vaseline. That's what that was. I had to do. I had to go to the store and buy this and not say anything about it. You know what I mean? It was like a test to test if I would go through. I'm like, what? I did this last week. what are you trying to test me? Cleet Keller of Colorado Springs told the news upon his return home on Monday around 1 a.m. He came home to several strange things and his dog nowhere. Thank God. I mean, if I find a naked man lubed up in my house, I hope my dog's not around. Two shirtless men were sitting on his living room couch. He asked them to leave. He noticed there was an open bottle of personal lubricant and a camcorder. Jimbo Keller's dog was reportedly found locked inside a bedroom. Well, that was decent. At least they didn't want the dog to see that.
Well, you know, it's one thing. One thing, you come out and a dog's out there with two shirtless guys and a half-empty jar of peanut butter out there, and the dog's licking his chops. I mean,
that guy's,
you
know, not getting
at least
good...
had the common decency to keep the dog. Avert the dog's eyes. Avert, put the dog in the bedroom.
Yeah, at least this guy's not getting a good Yelp review, by the way. The unidentified dog sitter, who Keller has learned was showering in his house when he got home, told the news station that she didn't have knowledge of the bodily fluids on the couch. Well, that's, who cares? I mean, at this point, it's past the point of...
Yeah,
you know.
that time, you're just going to throw the couch out. You're going to disinfect your joint. You're going to have a maid come over and scrub everything out. You're going to hit the shag rug with one of those lights they use in murder cases and see if it lights up like a Christmas tree.
Black light.
Oh, there's definitely DNA in this rug. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Here's a story. Texas man stops woman who's 94 years old driving the wrong way down a highway. It happens here in Florida a lot. What's that old joke? I saw a 90-year-old woman getting in her car, being pushed by her mother. Let's see here. Let's. Oh boy, yeah. We're sponsored by Voya, by the way, everybody. The orange squirrels. Says here, a Lubbock, Texas man was driving on the highway 183 between Seymour and Maybell last week when he noticed a 94-year-old woman going full speed in the wrong direction. Well, at least she was going fast. You know, all these old people, they go fast when they go in the wrong direction. Or they go when they drive into the subway.
And I'm in a hurry. I'm lost and in a hurry.
I've seen that happen a lot. Like, I'm going, you're leaving a place, like you're pulling out of somewhere onto a highway, and they come in the wrong way. You know, Florida is notorious for this. They mistake reverse for drive.
Yeah, what do they call them? Silver alerts?
Yeah.
I've seen a couple silver alerts. Oh, the one I missed nothing. Has anyone seen Uncle Fred? Oh, the one I missed nothing. Silver alert. Uncle Fred's out and about in his purple gremlin. If you see him, his license plate's B65994.
What's the ugliest car you know?
I would say a purple gremlin.
A gremlin, yeah, like a
looks
wedge.
Looks like an aquarium. Looks right? like an aquarium with wheels.
Well, you're thinking the Pacer.
The Pacer.
The Pacer. The AMC Pacer. Looked like a Tupperware bowl with wheels.
That's the
right?
Pacer.
The AMC Pacer had the most anti-theft device ever. Who would
steal that car?
That car had optional door locks. Like, you didn't have to get door locks. You could say, listen, there are an extra $50. And then the gremlin looked like a wedge of cheese, right? Remember, it was like a little wedge. And then now the ugly car is the Nissan Cube. They stopped making that Nissan Cube. So you always wonder when some designer put this car together and somebody went, I like it. You know? I mean, how high was that guy? Prado said he caught this lady doing it. Said another person who was driving a semi-truck had to swerve to avoid hitting the elderly woman.
Yeah.
One video shows Prado speeding ahead of the woman, eventually pulling ahead of her and cutting across the median. This guy got involved. This guy jumped across the highway median to get next to her going, lady, now he's going the wrong way.
Yeah, and maybe grandma just wanted to take herself out. Maybe she went down the wrong way on purpose, going, this is it. I'm going head first into an 18-wheeler and you ain't going to stop me.
Her Medicaid
cut. Oh, yeah,
out.
And then, you know, this guy has to be the hero. I mean, you know, it's funny because people put their dogs down. You know, they put a border collie down because, you know, they're not doing well. How come you can't do it to people yet? You know what I mean? Grandma's not doing too well. Won't put them.
Wasn't that a big discussion though? Like, chosen suicide. Like Kevorkian, where he was a doctor back in the day, right? And there's like people that are in pain. You know, I mean, It's amazing, though. There's some people I know that I know there are very rich families that have they have them still on life support, believe it or not, because they're bringing in the pension. You know, they're bringing such a big, huge pension and money's coming in. Like, keep them going. We want the checks coming. And it's almost as bad as those people where the parents die and the kids that still live with their parents. This happens a lot in Florida and places like this where the parents die and they still keep collecting the Social Security check. And they got grandma or grandpa buried out back. And they
Is that true?
Yeah, this happens. You know, what are you going to do? These kids that can't leave their parents' house, you know, they were like the, they were Dungeons and Dragons masters in high school. And they're still staying with their parents. You know, they drive a bike. They're like 58 years old. They never
been
married.
The guy's going to jump on your YouTube channel and make some comment about how horrible of a person you are. Thanks for judging me, Bob. Guy's in his parent mom's basement eating Doritos and playing PlayStation and beating off till his dick's orange, surfing the neighbor's wireless internet for free. But he's going to weigh in on my life and what an asshole I am for trying to put a video out. That's what you're up against, yeah. Right?
Here's a story. Former soccer star says rat ate his foot while he was sleeping. You wake up a little bit, don't you? At some point, I mean, how asleep do you got to be before you realize your foot's gone?
Well, bro, first off,
I got to go to the bathroom.
Bro,
whoops!
Bro, first you're in a place with a rat, like yeah. You know. I mean, where are you sleeping? Where, you know what I mean? You guys, a soccer star. You guys sitting there doing heroin in a halfway house somewhere.
Isn't it funny though? A soccer star loses his foot. You know what I mean? Like the one thing he used, you know, that like his foot, he kicked the ball with it all his life, and now it's gone. You know, it's like being a professional eater. You're talking about these professional eaters, it's like them losing their lips. You know, like a rat ate on my lips. Now I can't be a hot dog eating champ anymore.
Yeah.
Or he actually maybe better.
Kobayashi, who was it? Kobayashi. Joey Chestnut?
Sometimes I wouldn't mind just, like, I used to have a joke. I think I sold it to somebody, but I auditioned for Man vs. Food. I walked in and the producer said, excuse me, son, but sometimes food has to win.
That's funny. It's interesting. The guy who hosts that show, Man vs.
Yeah.
Food, is a guy named Adam Richman.
Yeah.
There's also a comedian named Adam Richman, who, if you Google him, will come up with a story where he got in a tussle with a waitress. They were both drunk, and she made some allegations against him. And obviously there was a 911 call and yada, yada, yada. But his name was Adam Richman as well. And he was almost got his own show called Man versus Food Server. No, is that a stupid
joke? That's a real comic. See, that's a headline. They could just take a joke I just said and they just go on top of that and just, you know what I mean? And
well,
just make
you know,
it,
yeah, you know. It's actually like an old joke, but I just thought it was funny that the, you know.
Food server.
What time was our show tonight?
It's 8:15 tonight, by the way.
Nice.
And I'll be hosting, starting the show off. I love it because it's great because the owner of the club, you know, whether there's not a lot of people there, or we're packed, he always come up to me and says, "Let's keep it going. We have a lot of people. Just keep the show going. Don't be up there too long." Like, yeah. I mean, he's seen me do comedy for 4 years. You know, I mean, I don't have 4 years of new shows every that type of material. You know,
right?
So I try to change it up. I make up, do a lot of crowd work too. A little. I'm a host, you know.
Right,
so
right, yeah.
You know, and they look at me like, up. Yeah, give me. And so, like, I have a young girl, Jackie Sanchez, going up our guest spot tonight. Very funny young lady. And Perry Sack, a Boston comic, who my first advice my wife had given him says, "You need a punchline." it was great. Like, you're funny. I like you, Perry, but you need a punchline. He'll be telling punchlines. He's been at it for a little bit.
Nice. And, well, I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun, man. It should be a good deal.
Absolutely. Well, this guy, I don't know if we're going to hear about this guy's foot. I know.
You know what the thing is, bro? That's what happens when you're an asshole. You know, you go hang out with rats. If a rat was eating my foot, I would certainly wake up. You know what I mean?
He said he went to sleep, and during the night, a rat has come into the bedroom, climbed into the bed, and has decided to chew on my foot. Well, it could have been worse.
Probably
could have went a little higher up.
Yeah, and, you know, now he probably got an infection.
Yeah.
May lose the foot.
Yeah. Well, it won't be. Soccer days are over.
Yeah.
All right. You ever do like delivery work? I used to deliver pizza.
Right.
Yeah, like any odd jobs like that. But this is we saw that thing on the Paul Casanova show, that big monitor, that big lizard monitor
around Davie,
Florida.
Right.
It's like 6 feet long, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Right? And the guy's like going to trap it. The guy who's trapping it is smaller than the lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would try to get a bigger guy. I would be like, can we get somebody who's lifted?
Well, no, what he's going to do is he's going to get the thing. If he catches it, it's like being a bounty hunter,
right,
and you get the money for returning the monitor,
yeah,
lizard back to the thing, even though there's some kid going, hey, you guys got my lizard? He was in my pool, and he got away.
Yeah.
I go, who has a monitor, like a six-foot monitor lizard?
It's a beast. It's a dragon.
Yeah, it's like a dragon, and they're pretty fast. And I tell you,
and you know, there's somebody's parent, some mother went, you can get it. Just take care of it.
Yeah.
And then the kid let it go, and it ate like three puppies.
You got to walk it. You got to pick up after it.
Yeah.
You got to clean up after your monitor lizard.
How messy is a six-foot monitor lizard's, you know?
Yeah.
It can't be good. But here's a story. UPS delivery foiled by a bear in the driveway. On August 29th, North Carolina, UPS driver said, sorry we missed you, but the note actually left on the door said, bear in driveway. I mean, I like when they're descriptive. When you get something on UPS, say, we try to deliver it. And sometimes it's a little vague whether you got to go there or they're going to bring it back. Like, yeah, are they going to bring it back?
You get three tries, and then you got to go down and pick it up.
It's a bit, you know.
Yeah, but, it, you know.
After a while, you're like, look, can't you just, like, leave it at my neighbor's door? You know, they don't want to be liable. I think matter of fact, I shouldn't be saying this. There's some people who live right next to us, and they do a lot of fix-it stuff.
Right.
Like, they're always taking, like, washing machines and stuff. So we got this delivery one time. I think it's, like, the countertop of an oven. Like these two huge and like things, and we're like, these aren't ours. They didn't, you know, they had our name and address on it, and we got them in the garage. We want to sell them. We're like, well, how do we get rid of? How does a regular guy like me, a comic, start being able to sell like an oven top? You know what I mean? It could be worth like $400.
Yeah,
you know, like a weekend gig at the Comedy Zone for me.
Yeah, but you'd be amazed at what you could at eBay and Amazon are there. You know, what you're able to accomplish, what you're able to sell.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go looking and you get in a black hole or just looking for stuff on eBay.
Well, here's a little last story of the day from L.A., your hometown. Man jumps fence at LAX. That's where I'm flying in, by the way. When I go to, I'm going to L.A. in the week before Christmas. Man jumps fence at LAX, does push-ups on runway. Some people go to the gym, but this guy. A man taken into custody in Los Angeles International Airport on Monday after he jumped the fence, ran onto a runway, and did push-ups, according to police.
Yeah, well, they should lock him up. I mean, anybody that's messing around with airports anybody who's trying to... Like, I was in behind these an old Indian couple. It looked like they took their silverware drawer and dumped it into the suitcase. And I'm going, wow, like, who doesn't read the news? Who's going to go to an airport like that? I mean, just clean those people out. Just get lock them up, put them away. I got to get to Cleveland by Wednesday, okay? I'm sorry you need a cat to fly with. I'm sorry you need a pig and you need a goat. I'm sorry the bleeping of a goat will keep you calm. I mean,
A peacock.
You know, who's flying the plane? Old McDonald's? Old McDonald had a plane, E-I-E-I-O, with an oink oink there and a ee-ee there, and everybody had a goat and a farm and a chicken. What are we doing here, people?
I'm feeling left out.
Yeah.
You know, I want to bring my own animal.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. Like, you heard my dog already. I couldn't bring that dog on a fucking plane.
It's bad enough I got to go to Cleveland. I'm going to drag the cat with me, my therapy frog.
The man who has not yet been identified was spotted by an airport police officer just around 1:30. He was taken into custody within 2 minutes after being spotted on the runway. You just said that about this. It was a few weeks ago. I think I was flying to Pittsburgh. And there was a guy in there dressed real well, older black guy, dressed nice suit and everything. We're getting up, about to, you know, go through the walk through the x-ray. You put your stuff. This guy, like you said, this guy was pulling shit out of his pocket like he cleaned out his junk drawers. Like he had paper clips. This guy had refrigerator magnets. Like, who the hell carries? Like, there's like three sets of keychains.
Yeah, people who are mentally ill carry that.
I mean, there's stuff that you hang pictures up with. This guy had a ratchet wrench, you know, a needle nose plier. I mean, you're going on a plane. That's fine, though. No problem with that. Anyway, hey, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me in, man.
Thanks for coming in, man. Thanks for coming to Florida, buddy. Appreciate you coming into town.
Yeah. We will see everybody tonight.
Yeah, we're sold out tonight, and we got Bremen tomorrow. And then if there's still tickets left in Miami, guys, the Comedy Inn on Friday and Saturday night. One show Friday, two on Saturday. It's got a good deal. All you can drink for $40. You get to see the show.
Those should be fun shows.
That would be, yeah. Especially the late show Saturday.
Especially for comedians. Good.
But don't forget to catch Jimmy Schubert when he's in town or anywhere you're at. He'll be around. Trust me.
Go to jimmyschubert.com for all my latest details. You follow me on Twitter, Jimmy Schubert. You can go to my fan page, Jimmy Schubert Comedian, and also Instagram, Jimmy Schubert. And accept no substitutes. Don't follow these. There's a lot of phony fan pages
out there. Yeah, don't go to Jimmy Schubert. That's a different guy. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week. Actually, one show. I'm going to be going out of town next week. And if not, go to the archive site, Wake Up Late with Dougie. Join us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. Join me at Instagram and Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Good night, everybody. Thanks. We'll be back next time. We're here at the same spot.
People
on
Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There being a light hit the ground.